Hello everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, and in this podcast we'll be looking at news up to the 25th of May 2020. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Well, our first story, Kate, looks at the ethics of being fired by a group Zoom call. Bruce Weinstein reports on the headlines made by WW International, formerly Weight Watchers, when they terminated many employees' contracts via group Zoom calls. It's not clear how many employees WW fired via group Zoom, but it was enough, however, for the company to view individual conversations as unwieldy. Nick Hotchkins, the chief financial officer for WW, told the New York Times it wasn't practical to have all the conversations be one-to-one. The Zoom communications were audio only, so public shaming or embarrassment weren't issues, and no one apparently knew who else was on the call. But it's also the case that the employees weren't allowed to ask questions during the call. And Weinstein suggests here that giving someone the worst news of their career on a call and then not allowing them to respond is the height of insensitivity. Kate, would you agree with Weinstein that this is one of the most callous and disgraceful ways a company can fire an employee, and the negative PR it generates is also bad for business?
It's dreadful, but then every time a new technology appears, we find new ways of using it badly and using it to treat people not very well at all. Particularly ironic for Weight Watchers, who no doubt in all their promotional campaigns talk about feeling good about yourself and improving your self-confidence, will do something that would be so devastating for so many people. And that immediate emotional reaction, because of course that's what it will be. There'll be shock, upset, dismay, denial, all the things that happen when we hear really bad news, and nobody to help them with those emotions in those first important moments afterwards. I think it is truly shocking. And I genuinely hope that people remember this. And this does not appear to be a values-led company, or indeed a company that genuinely cares about the confidence and well-being of all the people that they try to sell their stuff to.
Right, thank you, Kate. Our next story asks, how can leaders capture a post-lockdown purpose premium? When lockdown draws to a close, consumers will reward firms they feel have acted in a socially responsible way during the COVID-19 crisis. That's according to the latest Purpose Pulse report from three leading UK brand and reputation consultancies. The report shows that socially responsible firms could benefit from a purpose premium, with a majority of respondents, 63%, saying they would prefer to buy products or services from companies that have stressed social responsibility during lockdown, and almost 4 in 10, 38%, expressing a willingness to pay such firms extra. Barry Johnson, COO and co-founder of Report Sponsor Purpose Union, said, consumers want to see companies think about their wider impact on society and how their day-to-day operations are helping or hurting. It's clear, for example, how businesses have treated their staff during the COVID-19 crisis will be a litmus test for corporate reputations for years to come. Kate, what should leaders implement within their business strategies to ensure they are in a strong position to harness that goodwill?
Well, if they're thinking about it now, Rod, it's probably too late, as we've seen with Weight Watchers. People are prepared to pay more, as this research suggests, but also given a choice between two products, same price, really little difference between them, you will go with the one that you like the brand, that the brand provokes positive feelings in you. You think they're good guys. And that to me is what the purpose premium is. You can't immediately cash in on it, but you do know that your reputation will have benefited from you behaving well and behaving honourably, because we've seen how ubiquitous is the reporting when companies really get it wrong. So in terms of business strategies, make sure that they know what their values are and that they're living their values, that they are looking after people, and their reputation will grow accordingly, because everybody who's been treated badly by an employer will tell a lot of people about it. And I think sometimes short-term financial drivers, or just people being thoughtless, forget you can't come back from what, for example, Weight Watchers have done very easily at all.
Thank you very much, Kate. And you make a good point there that for some organisations, it may actually be too late.
Yeah, Absolutely.
Okay. Well, our next story asks how leaders can help staff overcome furlough fear. This is a new survey report from leadership coach Janine Woodcock, who incidentally is a fellow of the Institute.
Well done, Janine.
Well done indeed. Now, this survey report says that UK workers furloughed during the COVID-19 crisis are grappling with worries that go far beyond the financial, according to this report. Woodcock reveals that only 21% of respondents align themselves with the statement, "Now I am furloughed, I feel okay, and I have no concerns." The figures are significantly higher when the statement is repositioned to account for such issues as a loss of purpose, loss of routine, loss of connection with one's firms, and fear of future redundancy at 81%. In a statement, Woodcock said, "I was compelled to develop this research while working with furlough decision makers from a variety of industries who, while well-intentioned, were solely focused on the economic impact of their decision to furlough." She explains, "Their assumption was that furloughed staff will find receiving 80% of their salary cap without having to work extremely appealing. Yet in my conversations with those being or about to be furloughed, I was hearing deep concerns. This is how I came to coin the phrase furlough fear." Kate, what can leaders do to help their employees confront and overcome furlough fear?
This is a really good illustration of how many more reasons other than economic necessity so many of us go to work. And being furloughed, even if the financial penalties are not that severe, is a rejection. You're not wanted. Whatever it is that you were taking to work every day is not required at the moment. And the response to that, of course, will be emotional, because most of us hate rejection, and it is a horrible feeling to think whatever it is that you have to offer isn't required. And then when you start thinking about, well, what am I going to do all day, when it's not like we have the opportunity to all go on holiday, instead you're stuck at home with the only instruction that you're not allowed to work, not seeing your colleagues, which is obviously important for some people. As we know, an awful lot of people really rely on their colleagues to make their work fun and enjoyable. And then at the back of your mind, or perhaps even not at the back, there's, well, if I'm not wanted now, will I be wanted anymore? Will I be made redundant? So yes, of course, senior teams should be thinking about the financial impact, and that the honourable companies have done that. Some of them have made up salaries to 100%. They've been true about not expecting people to work, but encouraging them to spend time on learning and development. But remember, people do go to work for so many more reasons, and that should always be present in decision making.
Thank you once again, Kate. Now, our final story asks, how can small businesses build their resilience in the COVID-19 era? As the COVID-19 crisis rumbles on, leading experts in the UK small businesses segment have written opinion columns advising such firms on how they can boost their resilience. Small Business Charter Vice Chair Tim Vawley advises, alongside drawing upon the UK government's rescue packages, small businesses need to seek out support in areas where they may lack skills and capability, from marketing and cash flow to business continuity and digital. And in addition to working on their businesses, it is crucial that small business owners consider their own well-being. In a column for This Is Money, Emma Jones, founder of small business support network Enterprise Nation, notes, "It's so important to continue to communicate with customers over lockdown. Do send regular emails with updates and offers if you have any. Keep it short and use a friendly tone. Share what you're up to and how you're doing. Be confident and keep the dialogue flowing." Kate, what are the key factors that small firms must have in place to ensure they are sustainable, both during the crisis and beyond?
I think we could do a lot worse than going to today's webinar, actually, and revisiting some of the advice that we heard there. I think in particular, Neil Muffett of Woodrow Mercer said, know every bit about your business in terms of which are your profitable products, how much things cost to make, to deliver, to distribute. Understand the financials. And in terms of that resilience that you mentioned at the beginning, always be environment scanning. What's going on? What new developments are? What are your competitors doing? What is your suppliers doing? I think it's very much the sort of advice that we were given and giving last week in our personal brand and networking webinars. This need to be connected with your ecosystem that you're part of means that you shouldn't get many surprises. So that's alert, isn't it? It's an awareness all the time that you cannot rest. You have to be constantly on the lookout for what's going on and updating.
Well, thank you, Kate. Before we conclude, is there anything going on in the Institute that you wish to remind us about?
Well, we've released the small business research this week. So as I would encourage people to follow the webinar series, if they not only if they work in a small business, own a small business, but if small businesses are their customers. Back to what I was saying about understanding what's going on out there.
Well, thank you once again, Kate. And that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thank you, Rod.